Here we go. It is February 5th. I am late again. I was gonna be on time, but I had to beat Noida. I just had to beat Noida. But I did. I got the bad ending, the normal ending, the bullshit ending for weak babies. But that's good. Never mind about Noida. February, or actually, I guess this is technically the January Q&A. Hello, welcome, thanks for listening, thanks for clicking, thanks for supporting me and what I'm doing. So what am I doing? What did I do? January, how did January go? Well, it started out, holiday stuff. And then I was back to the secret project. I was back to the Slime and Punishment True Finale game, which I worked on for the better part of January. I probably spent working on that, which is I didn't predictably it took longer than I thought. I thought I was definitely gonna have it done by January, but at some point I think I got like really burnt on it and I had to step away from it for a little bit because I was not making any progress. And then I think that was a little bit before I decided to do the video, the Let's Read Legend of the Ten Elemental Masters video, which it's relatively low effort content, but it actually took me a few days. It took me like, I spent most of the day reading the book, and then it took me like three more days to actually edit it, because I had to go through it. I had to make several passes through it before I had cut it down to a point that I thought it was all killer, no filler, so to speak. And that video performed not great. I thought it would get, I mean, I didn't think it would get as much as a lecture, but I thought it would get more than, like, you know, just say something like the Slime and Punishment finale, which got very few views, relatively. I thought it would get more than that. Like, I thought it would get in the tens of thousands, maybe, because, like, it's vaguely relevant to my most popular stuff. It's like, you know, internet apocrypha lolcow sort of related, plus it's long content. It's sitting at like 2,000 views, which, like, that's a bit of a bummer. I mean, I think one thing I regret about it is that my webcam and my microphone are not as nice as they could have been. It's unfortunate, but it was what I had, and I wasn't gonna wait on doing it until I had gotten better. I thought about it, but I was like, I want to do it now. I'm not gonna wait for, you know, a week for shit to arrive. I want to do it now. I'm gonna do it. I might get better mic and webcam before I do another one, if I decide to do another one. Those numbers, though. Those view numbers. Ugh. Disappointing. So yeah, that took me a little bit, and then I think that led right into, like, the GameStop stock thing, which, I got pretty, sidetracked by for a bit there. It was occupying me quite a bit. I invested some money, have lost it. I mean, not all of it, but most of it. But it's okay, because I invested way less in that than I had previously invested in Bitcoin, because I had kind of learned my lesson. Not entirely. I mean, on the one hand, the GameStop thing was not just about making money. It wasn't like, okay, I'm doing this because I think there's money to be made. There was that, but there was also the fact that, like, oh, you know, we're putting the thumb screws to the hedge funds. So there was that element to it, too. So it's not like, I'm not that devastated by it. On the other hand, you know, disappointing. People were saying it was only just getting started. I don't know. I'm still holding on to it, because, like, at this point, why not? selling now would just be cementing my losses, so fuck it. And I mean, I went into it with the mindset of like anything that I invest in this, I should just assume is gone, which, you know, thinking about it like that, now if I sell it at 1/7 of the original price, hey, that's 1/7 the value in pure profit over the zero that I was expecting. So I'm in the black. Cool. And that was that takes us up to now, which is I did a little RFCK stuff this week, and I have to do another Top Killer stream tonight, and then I think after that it is gonna be basically clear schedule back to the game. I had meant, and I guess I got sidetracked and didn't end up doing it, I had meant to post another game update in January, and then all that other stuff happened, and I ended up not doing it because I wasn't working on it for the latter half of the month. Not half, the latter week plus. So I should do that soon. The state of the game now is it plays, and like the characters can do attacks and do damage and kill enemies, and then the game knows, and then it will go to the next stage, which is just a reload of the original stage. So it will, you can kill enemies, they attack back, and then you it does a loop back to the beginning. The animations are somewhat done. I don't know how much more I'm going to do on that. I have maybe like one or two more animations I want to implement. I'm not going to go too crazy with it. Items work, but the menus are all fucked up. I need to fix the item menus. What else do I need to do with it? Text boxes and like text for dialogue and I guess what you might call cutscenes is not implemented at all. I might try and just it's probably not worth it. I was thinking I might try and like just copy paste code from the Champion game to basically have the dialogue boxes work the exact same way, but I probably shouldn't bother because that game I programmed with like drag and drop block logic, and this one I'm doing in it all in GML code, so I don't know, that would probably just be fucked up. It's probably wouldn't even be that hard to just do it again. So yeah, but that element of it is like not even in. Basically what the game is going to consist of will be it'll basically just be like a series of rooms, and you go from one to the next, and like in each room there will probably be a little bit of dialogue, and then you have a little battle, go to the next one, a little bit of dialogue, maybe a little bit of like animations where like characters move around as they speak, maybe a custom animation plays, and then a new batch of different enemies shows up, and then you go to the next one, repeat. I want to have like two sort of like boss enemies at the end is the plan. Those need to be made. The enemies in the game are all like generic. There's like one type of enemy that like doesn't really do anything except attack you for zero damage and be killed in one hit. So the enemies are like very rudimentary. I could go into all the minutiae of the current state of the game, but hopefully that gives you an idea of where it's at, and I hope to post an update about it. Maybe just like a video, just like a short video of like playing it. Later, it's not at the point where I could post like a demo yet. Maybe sometime this month I will have something approaching like a playable demo, just to like give an idea of what the final thing. But you know, I probably won't do that because I think if I post a when I post like something playable, I think I want it to be the like playtest this, like tell me how hard it is kind of thing, where like you know, people try it out and then tell me like how easy was it, because there's really no benefit, you know, to me development wise to putting out like a very early like super alpha playable demo, because I can't learn anything there about like the difficulty level, because like yeah, the mechanics aren't even all there. So yeah, I'll probably do like a video update soon, and then when it's closer to being done and I just have to like tweak the layout, the room layouts and the difficulty and the numbers a bit to get an idea, then I'll post like a playable demo that's like, tell me, could you beat this? How many tries did it take you to beat this? Did you find any bugs? Yeah. It's been a little while. It's been maybe 2 weeks since I worked on the game. So it's time to get back to that. And I guess that's pretty much it for January. So let's get to your questions. Here we go. Okay, Drip asks, I fucking knew it was going to be a game about the project reveal. Good guess. For you spell it out in episode 7 of the podcast. Did I mention that I was thinking of making a game? I might have, actually. I might have mentioned that I was thinking about doing a game. You mentioned that to continue that project, you'd have to go back to and make amends with certain individuals. Ominous. Care to elaborate? Drip, I have no idea what you're talking about. I may have said that. I believe you that I did, but I have no recollection of that or what it means. I might have been talking about like restoring relations with Chris Chan, because Chris was angry with me at the time over the like alpha beta omega timeline shit, but like I don't care about that. It doesn't matter, and I think she's forgotten about all that anyway, because now she's sending me crystals in the mail. Anyway, you should post screenshots or sprites for patrons at some point. This was before I posted the Phantom Horn sprites, and like I said, I will post a video probably, or maybe or screenshots or something. Okay, and then Drip. Okay, I asked make amends for what, and Drip responds. Okay, quote. This is a bit of a quagmire because I did kind of start this process and then drop it, and there are individuals who I feel like maybe I should have been a little more responsive to, who I might need to get back to and make some amends if this process is to continue. But I was considering giving the same treatment as with the champion game to Slime and Punishment in a post-finale denouement sort of context. Right. Okay. Then I know. What I meant by that was that I had talked to Gibbs' brother Charlie about maybe working on a game together, and this was literally like pre-RadCon 4 that I talked to Charlie about it, and then he kind of made like a very very basic little game demo build, but the game demo build that he made, like he was sort of just kind of riffing and being like, what if it was like this, what if this was like this, and his build was like projectile based. And that was not what I was envisioning at all. And so I kind of never got back to him about like whether to go ahead with it or not, which I should have just said no. I did eventually, like a while later, message him back and be like, I'm sorry I never got back to you about this. You know, your demo wasn't quite what I was looking about. Like, what would you think about work? You know, duh. And he was like, yeah, maybe we could. Yeah, we don't have to do it like that. But I don't think I'm going to do that, because like I have the foundation sort of built, half built now already myself. And I really think that if I was working with like another developer, that it would just like make it harder and make like there would have to be like a back and forth process of like I would send him something and he would implement this, and then he would send me like a remade such and such, and I would have to like learn it, what he'd figure out what he'd done, and then work with it. And I think it's just easier if I do it myself. So I eventually decided not to worry about that anymore. So yeah, that's what I was talking about. Good eye, good ear, good catch. Okay. Sean Garrett asks, Poggers, Ben game hype. I'll playtest that baby base. Lol, of course Nate went to Hawaii. Pretty fucking standard for him at this point, I guess. Disappointing. Taking a vacation while your Patreon is tanking and you're hardly uploading on your main channel is really perplexing. I mean, for me, I mean, I don't begrudge anyone for taking a vacation during the holidays. For me, the thing that's cringe about going to Hawaii is that, like, you know, traveling is very pandemic-y, so I wouldn't do it, and indeed I did not. I did visit my parents, but, like, there was no... This was after my self-imposed quarantine, feeling pretty confident that I have not been exposed to anything, and we did not, like, go on any public areas. They just picked me up at my house, and I went to their house, and then I went back. So, I mean, I guess that wasn't, like, 100% quarantine-proof, but I felt like it was pretty responsible. Like, not particularly dangerous, in the grand scheme of things. Anyway. Glad you had a chill time with your fam, as I did as well. I'll likely come back and update this with a question as I'm on my phone right now. Paragraph break. Yo, could we start a real-life avalanche group? We could. We could become eco-terrorists. Thoughts on the return to normalcy? Wouldn't say great for obvious reasons, but already some cool stuff happening, getting done. Coping. Hoping, I get it, that they, I don't know, pass a fucking stimulus and include the college dependents on it. That'd be nice. By return to normalcy, do you just mean Biden being president? By which I feel like it is exactly what I expected, which is a mixture of, oh, phew, thank God, like, that's pretty good. And, like, you know, unbearably cringe, like, God, why stop, you fucker. So, you know, a mixed bag. I mean, good that they are, I guess, pushing to do more stimulus. Bad that they said 2,000 and then they're like, oh, we meant 2,000 including the last 600, so only 1,400, Lamau. So, you know, mixed. What else? I guess those are my thoughts, basically. Mixed bag. How do you feel about Yang running for mayor of New York? Do you think he's setting up to become president potentially? Do you think Bernie will last the next 4 years? I mean, Bernie could die in the next 4 years. I don't think it's, like, for sure or anything. Like, I mean, who knows? Who knows what the future may hold? About Yang running for mayor, fucking cringe. Fuck Yang. I saw something about a much better candidate for mayor of New York. I am going to a Twitter account that I follow called Populism Updates. Scrolling back to see what her name was. She was a candidate running on a housing justice platform whose slogan, whose basic, like, pitch is like decommodify housing, end homelessness in New York City, which is pretty big. Diane Morales seems way more base than Yang. Yang, you know, sort of populist with the UBI, but his UBI was like a shit version of it that like gutted other social programs and you know, he's a libertarian tech bro. He's pro capital. He sucks. I mean, he doesn't suck the most. Some people suck more, but he sure sucks. So Diane Morales seems better. That's what I think about that. Touching on that, Lately, every now and then, bodega discourse pops up on Twitter. Like, Yang posted that thing of, like, we love our bodegas in New York City. And every time it happens, I get furious. I hate it. Someone explain to me, like, what New Yorkers think is special about bodegas. Like, they... Sorry if you already know what I'm talking about and this is old news, but if you've never seen this, like, New Yorkers will, like, literally post about, like, how much they love bodegas because you can, like, buy, like, eggs and milk and candy at them. And, like, what the fuck is that? That's just a store. That's just a convenience store. You can do that anywhere. It's not special. It doesn't matter that you call them bodegas. I don't get it. It's really irritating. And of course Yang fucking does it. That's not really like an issues-based reason to hate the guy, but it sure is irritating. Do I think he's setting up to become president? I mean, every politician is setting up to eventually become president. That's what they all want. Red 5 Rainbow asks, how do I get my friends to play on my Minecraft server again? To which I replied, I don't know, make something cool in it and show them screenshots. Get it going. Get shit going in there would be the best way, I would say. Well, you have to have something to offer them. Otherwise, if you're like, guys, play on my Minecraft server. Sorry if this is condescending, Red 5 Rainbow. This is not... I'm sorry, but... You can't be like, hey guys, play on my Minecraft server without doing anything in it. Because then you're basically asking them to do you a favor. Which is not a great way to get anyone to do anything. You gotta have something that you're offering them. Like, hey, look what I put in the thing. Why don't you... pretty good. Are you tempted? I mean, unless that doesn't work, in which case it's cringe. There's no way. There's no way. Your Minecraft server is doomed. Minecraft is doomed. No one will ever play Minecraft again. That's what I think. Okay. Next question is really long. Oh, it's not that long. There's been longer. Chelsea Chester asks, hello, I'll throw some pennies in the fountain again. 1. Didn't you say not too long ago you'd post some casual cooking videos for fun? What happened there? Did you get embarrassed, or did the practicality of filming them stop you? There's a lot of great cooking stuff happening on YouTube right now, and I don't want you to miss out on being a part of something that might help you expand your audience like you've said you'd like to. I mean, there's always been cooking stuff on YouTube, right? That's nothing new. I mean, the cooking video that I wanted to make more than the rest was, like, the gummy recipe thing. And I never have done it because I have never perfected the recipe. Like, I still feel like it's not perfect. I was cooking with the, I never figured out, like, a great, like, a... I figured out, like, a kind of good formulation that I was mostly happy with the IMO fiber, and then I stopped being able to buy the IMO fiber anywhere, so I can't make that anymore. And the alternative was corn syrup, which I never really quite got figured out. It would always come out too jello-y or too, like, sticky or something. Like, that version of it I never perfected, so I can't... It wasn't ready. And now I'm keto again, so, like, I can't eat the corn syrup ones, so I don't want to make them. This is why I have not yet made any, like, gummy cooking videos, although I still would like to. Cleaning my kitchen. My kitchen is very messy, and people would make fun of me and say I was gross if if I filmed it in its current state. I mean, I guess there's a pretty easy solution to that. About the other stuff, I had occasionally mentioned that maybe I would do, like, keto cooking recipes, and, I mean, I don't know, it's not a, I guess I would, it's just, I don't know, it wasn't anything I was, like, that, like, enthusiastic about. It was just kind of, like, it was, like, an idea I had, and I was like, oh, maybe that'd be fun, but I was never, like, I change like what I'm making all the time. Like I'll go through like phases where like for a week or two I will eat like nothing but, you know, sausage and egg sandwiches on keto bread. And then another week I'll be like on a kick where I'm like I'm making, oh, you know, keto pizza with pepperoni as the crust or whatever thing I like, you know, work out. It's like, oh, this is a good meal. And then I'll make like nothing but that for like a week or two. And then I'll move on to something else. Like I'll get bored. So like, and like in the moment when I'm eating that thing, I'm always like, yeah, this is great. The people need to know. But like, then I get sick of it and I make something else. I get on a new kick. And then the old one is like, eh, whatever. I don't know. I do kind of want to like use my YouTube channel a little more. So I don't know. Making like videos where I cook stuff is a thing that I still might do it, but I haven't really been thinking about it lately. Two, speaking of, if you were to imagine your ideal kind of fan base, what would it be like? Is it just about make da numba so big, go big to you? Or is it also about making a sort of scene that you have pride in being part of? Maybe imagining the sorts of people you want to attract that are already paying attention would better help you find them where they are now. I mean, having the numbers big is good because big number is big money and big number is big clout, and those are both good. But, you know, it's good to, you know, like the one that everyone used to mention was Psy, right? Psy had like, you know, 100K YouTube followers, but like nobody gave a shit about him. He just had big numbers because he made top 10 lists that like did well. He didn't have like a scene. He didn't really have like a following. He just had like big numbers. Which like, yeah, I definitely do want to have a scene is a great word for it. That would be so cool to be like a, yeah, like even if it wasn't the biggest numbers, it would be, it's cooler if it's like, oh, you're part of the Ben Saint community or whatever. I don't know. Having like sort of a reputation or a click or something. Yeah, that is important to me. I would like that kind of thing. So I guess both things are good and I would like both of them. Yeah, those are both big number and having a cool scene are both awesome and I want both and I don't have enough of either. Lol. Maybe imagining the sorts of people you want to attract that are, you can't plan these things out too much. That's why I never plan anything. Three, you've said a long time ago that you don't like or respect autobio comics, which is kind of funny considering so many pre-online indie darlings and underground legends were autobio comics. Would you care to elaborate on why you don't like them or what you think is wrong with them or whatever? Do you just mean the hashtag relatable kind people post online or the whole concept of doing comics about yourself? I know a lot of the old, who are some of those, old, like the older, the pre-online, like autobio comics, Dan Brown, right? Dan Brown is one. Who was that guy who drew himself as the elf? Kochalka, I guess was, I think his stuff was like somewhat autobio. I wasn't talking about the like hashtag relatable, like fucking Sarah Scribbles. That's not what I mean. No, I mean stuff like that. And it's an irrational bias that I have. It's not rooted in any kind of like real qualitative analysis of like what makes art good. It's just that it annoys me. And I think the reason it annoys me is because if I imagine drawing, making a comic that is just about myself and my life, like, I know I've literally done this before, but when I think about, like, hey guys, here's a comic about me and something that happened to me, I just feel embarrassed. And I feel irritated that other people don't feel embarrassed by doing that same thing. And like, I know that it can, that kind of thing can make compelling content, because like, I liked Dan Brown's comics back in the day, you know, years ago when I read them. So I don't know. It's just a feeling that I have. It's an irritation and an embarrassment that I don't have any. it's just how it is. I guess that's it. If you had a chance to collaborate with anyone living person on a project, and money or time or your relative fame compared to each other on an issue, who would it be and what would you make? I'm not super eager to collaborate with anyone, because I really value that, like, if I make something, I own it, and it's mine, and it came from me. So I kind of am not even super hyped on the idea of collaborating with anyone, even someone who I, like, really respect. If I was going to, and this is something I would potentially be willing, I don't know, it's not a collaboration, but I would be willing to, like, take a job just maybe doing art or graphics or something on a project that someone else was directing, if I thought it was good and cool. But, like, in terms of, but, you know, unless in, like, an explicit, like, in terms of, like, directing something ourselves, like, I think I would just want to do it myself. I don't know. Maybe there could be someone who I could, like, collaborate with creatively in a directorial sort of way and make something good, come up with a good idea and do it. But I don't know. I genuinely don't know what that would be or who would be a good fit for that. I have no ideas. I have no ideas at all. Head empty, no thoughts. I don't know what I want to do at all, other than finishing the projects that I have already started. yeah, that's a good answer. That's what I want to do. I don't really want to collaborate, but, like, I would work on something that someone else was doing if I thought it was good and they were paying decently. I would do that. Sorry if that's, like, a shitty answer. What's an aspect of pre, you asked me, like, pick any one living person, and I just can't do it. What's an aspect of pre-pandemic life you are most ashamed of taking for granted and vow to embrace? Oh, when, if things go back to normal, something I am ashamed that I took for granted. Well, I feel like before COVID, I was kind of a hermit, and I stayed inside all the time, and I didn't go out enough. And now I feel like, I sometimes feel, and this is dumb, and I know this, I don't actually think this, but sometimes I feel as though I caused COVID, or like I cursed my own life and therefore the world at large, by being such a shut-in. This was a divine punishment wrought upon me, a sort of monkey's paw, like, oh, you wanna stay inside all the time, well here's this, then you'll love this, sort of ironic genie punishment. It's very stupid, so I guess I'm just saying I'll probably go out more. This is something that really bugs me about COVID, is that it gives me, like, strong external incentives to indulge in the most antisocial and, like, unhealthy, like, habits or inclinations that I have, which is to say, shutting out everything and, like, being a hermit, whatever. It's very uncomfortable. So probably that. I don't know. It's kind of, that's this boring answer. They'll go out and be social. Like, okay, well, that, sorry. That's it. That's all I have to say. What's an aspect of, what's the worst joke you ever told? Like, it just fucking bombed and the target was not amused. Not the worst in terms of the content of the joke. I already know the answer to that one. I don't know which one you mean. I've probably told a bunch of jokes with terrible content. The worst joke I ever told, okay, I have one. There was a, I thought this was really funny, or, I thought, I don't know, it's some, when I was, like, a kid, I saw someone do the thing, the, like, sort of pantomime motion that you can do that looks like you're making out with someone, right? When you turn around and you wrap your arms around so your hands are, like, on your back, and you're making, like, a, you look like, you move your hands up and down like you're being, you know, hugged or whatever. And you're going, mwah, 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 and it looks like you're making out with someone because they can't see who's behind you. I was hanging out with some kids on, like, a neighboring street for me that lived, like, there was, like, a little clique that lived, like, a few streets down from me. And I didn't really know them or even like them that much. But one day, I think I was, like, trying to get to know them or whatever. And I just happened to be hanging out with them for some reason. Because, like, we all took the same school bus. And I got off my school bus on their street. And I was, like, hanging out with them. We weren't really friends. I was just kind of there. And they were, like, and they were making fun of someone. Because, like, someone had a girlfriend or something. Or someone, like, had a crush on someone. And I was, like, haha, this is that kid. And I did that motion, like, to pantomime, like, the making out thing, and nobody laughed, and I was like, oh god, I thought that was really funny, but nobody thought it was funny. I felt really, really bad and stupid, because, you know, that's a bit you got to commit to. You throw your whole body into doing that little visual gag, so, you know, they must have known that I thought it was a killer, but it did not kill anyone. unfortunately, I wished it had killed myself. That's a pretty good one. I haven't thought about that in a long time. 7. See any good movies lately? Answer, no. I for a while there, I was watching those, like, movies where people just talk, and that was pretty good, but I haven't watched any in a while. 8. How are you doing? How are you feeling lately? Just checking in because I like you. You take care over there. How am I doing? Not great. How am I feeling? Not great. Looking forward to that that vaccine. Shoot me up, daddy. Also looking forward to getting this frickin' game done. That'll be pretty cool. And that's it. Bevan. This is the last one. Just want to drop my monthly pog at the podcast and broadcast my appreciation for all you do.
Thank you.
Especially Top Killers. All the new ones are so fucking pogged. Well, hope you're having a solid month. It's fine. My month is fine. I shouldn't complain. Top Killers, I'm glad you like the new ones. I am a little frustrated, honestly, that some of the older ones have a sort of inconsistent visual style. I mean, it's fine. It doesn't matter that much. It's sort of funny in its own way. But still, it's frustrating when I look at it. But okay, it's fine. Whatever. Glad you like the new ones. I like some of the new ones. I think, honestly, I spent, like, too long. Part of the mission statement with the Top Killers was that, like, I wouldn't work too hard on any one of them. But I actually, like, worked pretty hard on a bunch of them. Like, I think I ended up spending, like, over an hour on a couple of them, which is more than I spent on the old ones, which is part of why I think they look a little inconsistent. Like, my drawing of myself on that thing is garbage. It looks like crap. Because I did it in 10 minutes. Versus, like, the new ones, like, not Darren, Drac. Like, Drac I spent, like, a long time on, and she looks really good. But it's night and day. Okay, I think, well, that's the last question. And thank God, okay, I will take the last bit of this podcast to explain my epic win in Noida. Obviously, you're here to wonder, like, Ben, I heard you beat Noida. How did you do it? Well, I'll tell you. It was actually, like, all the best runs that I'd had up till that point were runs that I almost always kill myself. I always kill myself with some bullshit harebrained, like, wand combination that explodes, that just blows me up, right? I mean, not all the time, but, like, a lot. Or like, I'll be using the lightning bolt spell, which is, like, way too good, except it's really likely to kill you if you're not really careful with your shots. And, you know, in the heat of battle, sometimes you panic and you just... And then you're fucked. This one... okay, all my best runs lately tend to have the, like, boomerang spell perk, which makes my spells, like, come back at me, which you'd think would be really dangerous, but actually, it makes your non-dangerous spells better, like the ones that just shoot, like, bullets or projectiles, because those don't hurt you even if they boomerang back at you. And it just makes me not use the dangerous ones. Like, I don't use lightning, and I don't use bombs, and I don't use... And, like, those are the ones that end up killing me. So, like, not only is it just, like, a good perk if you don't use that stuff, it's also an incentive not to use that stuff, and that stuff is what kills me, like, almost a third of the time. And, the other great, incredibly great thing about the boomerang perk, I don't know why it does this, but the luminous drill spell, you know, it's a very, like, short-range little, like, beam. It's meant for, you could just go, bzz, 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 and it's very short-range, basically melee range. And it's used for, like, its explicit purposes to drill through material. But for some reason, with the boomerang perk, you would think it would just, like, do a little tiny arc back at you and become even shorter range. But no, it shoots the beam out, and the beam, like, arcs through the air and comes back at you like a projectile. So now this spell that is balanced, that does, like, really high damage at a really high fire rate, that is balanced for to be used melee ranged only and, like, to exhaust itself very quickly... is if you put it in the right wand that can, like, fire a continuous beam of it, you know, that it has, like, a low recharge time and a high mana regeneration rate, then you can just, like, spew, like, a continuous, like, fire hose of these, like, extremely fast, highly damaging, material piercing luminous drills in, and it does an insane amount of damage. I didn't win with that. I won with a really basic wand. The wand that I ended up using that carried me to the end was just like a it was Spitterbolts, which is basically just like a it's kind of similar. It's you know, high fire rate, medium range. It doesn't go, like, full screen, but it goes, like, far enough. And it just shoots fast, and they do, like, pretty decent damage for the mana. It's just basically. And I just had a wand that just shot, you know, a bunch of, like, upgraded spitter bolts really fast. And that was it. You know, I applied some damage boost modifiers to them to up the damage. And then I just, like, went through the game with a machine gun. And I didn't run into any problems blowing myself up because my wand didn't have any risk of that. And just this basic ass, like, fairly high damage, fairly, like, no fucking funny business wand just got me all the way to the end. Overthinking was probably my worst enemy in Noida a lot of the time. Like, trying to get too fancy with it. Like, basically you just need high damage. Oh, wait, I forgot. The other thing, this was lucky. The other lucky thing that helped me win that time, actually, it wasn't just that. I found a bunch of good healing stuff. I found a wand that does a Circle of Vigor, which is the easiest healing spell to use, because it just places a circle, and if you stand in it, you heal. And it heals you a lot. So, like, that was, like, really good. And I also found a healing bolt spell, which fires, like, a bullet that heals. But the trick with that one is that you have to shoot yourself with it, which is tricky. You have to, like, work out some kind of way to make the bullet hit you. But, you know, like I said, I had the boomerang spell ability. So they do circle back at me, but it's actually kind of hard because, like, just one bolt with one modifier like that doesn't entirely come back to you. But it was simple enough to make it because all I had to do was put the... I had three healing bolt spells, and I just put them in a wand. I put them in a wand that had that fired, you know, a block of three spells at once, and then the boomerang effect applied individually on each spell cast, but then each modifier also modified the entire block. So I was actually getting triple the boomerang effect on the entire block, which made the boomerang effect strong enough that the healing bolts, you know, circled back and actually did shoot me, as long as I wasn't shooting them, like, you know, past a wall or something. So I had these two really effective healing effects going. I don't know if that made the difference, because, like, I also had on my machine gun wand, I put a passive spell that just created, like, a temporary shield around me that protected me a lot. And then I also got the perk that made a secondary smaller shield around me that was, you know, you could take a certain amount of damage before going down before it would eventually regenerate. So yeah, I had this pretty basic wand of, like, decent damage doing machine gun bullets. And then I had these really good healing effects, which were really convenient. It's actually really hard to get, like, a healing effect going in Noida. And then I doubled up on these two, like, bullet shielding effects, which was, like, really effective. I might have been able to beat the game without the healing stuff because I didn't get hit a lot. I would take so little damage that I would then, you know, instead of going right to the end, I would spend a long time going through each level because I would have a lot of health left over, and I would just kind of go and, like, find more gold, find more items, find more wands, whatever. And, you know, because I wasn't taking a lot of damage, plus I had these, you know, healing abilities to keep me going, I was able to get, like, a lot of stuff in each level and, like, have a lot of money going into the next temple to buy stuff with. So it all just synergized really well. And I think I took literally no damage against the final boss because of my shields. So that was, like, a bit lucky, because you don't always find good healing spells. Yeah, you know, it was me. I decided, like, okay, I'm just gonna focus on, I don't know. When I had both shields going, I was just like, holy shit, I'm unstoppable. And I kind of was. So that was a little lucky. But the perk, the shield perk was lucky. But even just having the one, like, passive shield spell on the wand was, like, actually, that was lucky too, because I'd never seen that before. I had seen the one that does, like, the shield only in front of you. I'd never seen the one that does the entire shield all around you. That was, like, mwah. So I guess I got pretty lucky, to be honest. Lol. Okay, well, I hope you like Noida, because if you don't, that was probably pretty much gobbledygook. Lol. Yay, I beat the game. Okay, well, that's the Q&A. Ask anything you like in the comments. Thank you again for listening. Thank you for being a patron, as always. Of course, I love you. We love you. You're very special. be on the lookout for Slime and Punishment game update. I will probably, I'm going to say in the first half of January, I will be able to put out something that will show, like, what the game looks like in motion. Yeah, it's not that bad. Okay, so that's it. I will try to get the next podcast out before the end of February. I usually try to do these on the last day of the month. I've been late the last few. Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate you all. And, fucking drop me a line anytime. I'm an open book. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.